Hey there, everybody, and welcome back. This is our 2-for-1 week since you get not only the end of our reading, writing, and arithmetic series, but you also get the beginning of our Christmas series. So this week, we are going to talk to my friend Laura Prater, and she has created a resource that is really, really cool, and you're going to find super awesome as you go through this Christmas season, focusing your heart, focusing your children's hearts on what's important, but also learning some super cool stuff along the way. So welcome with me, Laura Prater. And Laura, if you'll just tell us a little bit about yourself, where they can find you, that kind of thing, and then we'll jump into talking about this Christmas around the world that we're going to really focus on this week.
Okay. Hi, I'm Laura Prater, and you can find me at allfillhomemaker.com. And this book was just something that was born in my heart over our almost 10 years of homeschooling. So I'm so excited to share it with everybody.
Well, last year, those of you who are with us know that I did a video about a little book that I received from a friend of mine, or actually a cousin-in-law of mine, that she had written me all about cultures in England and recipes and things around the year, things that they celebrate all year long. And it made such an impact on me that I thought of the importance of looking at cultures and the way that Christmas is celebrated around the world. So we really briefly touched on that last year. This year, though, I wanted to follow up on that and present to you a resource that will really, really help you do that way better than those little ideas that I threw out last year. So Laura has created something called Christmas Around the World. That may not be the actual name. I don't have it in front of me. But what she does is she walks you through the way that Christmas is celebrated in a lot of different places. So I wanted to let her tell you about it. Laura, don't just tell us about what you've created, but let us know why. What can we gain from it? What are some of the academic and really spiritual implications of this study that you created?
Okay. The reason that I decided to create this is we are a military family. My husband's retired from the Army, and part of being in a military community is you're exposed to a multitude of different cultures. And one Christmas party that we went to, it had different cultures, like the setup. Instead of just, you know, Santa Claus coming out, or which is so typical at American Christmas parties, it was different cultures and different religions and different things like that are in the military, and each one represented and did a display, which I thought was really a cool learning experience instead of just focusing on the Santa. So for our family, I wanted to figure out how we could tie that back to Christ and tie that into our homeschool. And so I started putting together a bunch of different resources, and every year I would just research more and more and more, and I would write all these notes, and every year we would add stuff in. We also added in a lot of stuff where my husband would travel. So when he was in Iraq, we talked about the Iraqi culture and what they did. We talked about when he was in Korea, and I actually was in Korea during the Christmas time. And so I was taking tons of pictures because I'm like, this is good for my research and for my book. And, you know, I knew eventually that I wanted to put this resource together, completed. It just took a lot of time. But this book starts with Advent, which to us is, you know, Christians, it is a time and a season to sit and reflect on the coming of Christ and on his birth. That's the most important thing and the reason for the season for us. And so I started it out with Advent, and then I take you through different, all the way up through the birth of Christ, and you go through 22 different countries. So you're going to go through Advent and then 22 countries. And then the final is, the birth of Christ. So that's what sparked this. My kids love it. They have already been asking me this year, when are we starting Christmas Around the World studies? We pause all of our regular school during the month of December and through January the 6th. And we focus on Christmas Around the World studies. And it is important as a homeschooler. We've always done classical type methods, even before we got involved with Classical Conversations, which we are now. But we wanted our kids to learn and to know about different cultures. And we talk about that, and we always bring it back to Christ. You know, if there's a culture and they're not predominantly Christian, we talk about that. We talk about ways that we can pray for them, and how can we be a missionary, even though we're here, to the people that are in that country. It might be, you know, writing missionaries that are over in that country, and my kids have done that. That's another cool thing you can tie into Christmas. You can adopt a missionary in one of these countries and support them and write to them. But we just have always done things like this and brought it back around to learning about history, and we tie in literature and history, and pretty much everything except for math gets tied in. We do spelling and everything.
Very cool. Well, you know, as homeschool moms, it is, well, homeschool families, not just homeschool moms, it is absolutely incumbent upon us to make sure our children have a very large view of the world. Mm-hmm. I think that we are particularly well-suited or well-planted. The word is escaping me that I really want, but we are really in a position, well-positioned, to enlarge their view, to see what God is doing all around the world, to see that we're but a speck in this giant group of people that we live among. And I think that by focusing like you all do on all these different people groups, all these different celebrations, all these different countries, all these different traditions, that it really will help enlarge our children's view of what God can do, of the needs of people. I know that as our family has studied other people groups or visited other countries, you see very clearly how desperate their need of God is, that you may miss by just going to co-op, just going to church, just staying with your Christian friends. This is a great way to make sure that we're not insulating ourselves so much that we're missing what God is wanting to do all around us. You've thrown out some ideas as far as writing letters to missionaries, adopting missionaries. That is a fantastic idea. What about, do you track your travels anyway? Would there be a really cool way that you could put a map up and kind of see where you've gone? Anything like that you guys have done?
Yes. And in fact, if you download the study right now, you get a passport. Ooh. And, you know, one of the coolest things about being a military family is when we would travel to different countries is getting that passport stamp. It's like our rite of passage, you know, going into the other countries. And my husband and I would, you know, tease each other about who had more stamps and that kind of thing. So it's really cool for kids as they're going through these different countries. I have stamps that you can print out, and you put them in your passport, you fold the passport, and you make yourself a little passport for your kids. And so as you travel throughout the Advent season and you study these different countries, your kids can get a passport filled.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, that's just awesome. I wanted to take just a couple of minutes, since I have you here, to talk about your ministry with the military too. I know that, mm-hmm. that you guys, now that Clay is retired, you spend a lot of time and energy ministering to military families. And you've really given David and I a heart to do the same. You have enlarged our vision of the needs that are out there. And so I thank you for that. But can you tell the other ladies, and maybe gentlemen, I guess, who may be watching this, just some ways that we can pray for our military or be thoughtful of our military families during this time of year?
This is a hard season. I know that for my husband, it brings up triggers because he's a survivor, and others are not. And so the holiday seasons always bring him back to remembering those that didn't make it back. If you know of a family that you can outreach to and pray for them, you know, maybe pop them over some cookies during the Advent season. That would be a great project for kids to take on. I know that, believe it or not, that in my town here, my small town, there are 3 people on my Facebook list that are one of the 22 widows a day that where their husbands have committed suicide. It is a huge statistic, and as a church of the whole, we need to be finding bridges to figure out how that we can, instead of stay away from the messiness, when people leave the service to find out how that we can embrace them. It starts with prayer, but it also starts with outreach and, you know, knocking on their door and just letting them know that you are, you know, not just the thank you for your service cliche that's out there, but that you really are there for them. And you're not going to judge them, you know, because they're having a bad day or they might be triggered, but, you know, you'll watch their kids so their wife can get some peace. You might just pop over and mow their yard sometime, take them cookies, just things like that, throughout the Christmas season. We personally have an open door policy and we always invite military and veterans and retirees or whoever into our house for a meal. There is a lot said in the Bible about breaking bread, with someone, and we feel like that a lot of times bridges and trust are built by breaking bread together.
Yeah, honestly, I think that for a lot of us that are not from a military background, we don't even know that there are needs there. I don't think that there is an awareness of, well, we don't take time to think. I didn't take time to think of the way, you know, once they're reunited. Now I can understand the needs of a family if the husband or wife is deployed. That I can wrap my head around. But once they're home, it never dawned on me that the needs would continue still. Mm-hmm. And so I want to encourage those of you, find out about that. Look for the people that are in your church or in your community that where the dad or the mom has come home. Find out what they need, find out what they're going through, be there to talk to them, be there, like she said, keep their children, help them in tangible ways, open your doors. This is a great season to show the love of Christ to just one and all. And so let's really mobilize as a group of believers to do that. Laura, thank you so, so much. Every time I talk to you, it is a joy. And I'm grateful that you came on and told us about your Christmas project and also gave us some insight about the military families and their needs.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I love talking with you too. And I just love everything that Teach Them Diligently stands for. And I'm excited to be involved.
Well, thank you. And those of you that are military, Laura will be, I believe, at all of our events this year. We've got some really cool things that we're hoping to work out for military families to really let you know how grateful we are. So thank you, and I hope that you guys all have a very Merry Christmas season. Oh, no, I don't want to do that. I wanted to do this.